ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
मुमुक्षु प्रेम भाष्भोगम् विरहुत कंठ्य कातराहा राजातम आहयम चक्रे कृतासन परिग्रहम। Due to anxieties and long separation, they all cried out in affection, and Yudhishthira then arranged to offer sitting accommodations and a reception. I read the translation of text 6 and text 7 both. Grihe shatram api praptam vishvasto akuto bhayam. If even an enemy is received at home, he should be received in such a way that he will be completely trusting and free of fear. Srila Prabhupada often quoted this from Chanakya. When we say Chanakya, it's not just Chanakya's opinion. It's a collection of quotes from Shastra. All this is Hitopadesh, it's also instructions encoded within stories. But the important points, they're all taken from Shastra. This sounds, this idea of receiving an enemy graciously doesn't sound very practical, especially if we're talking about mortal enemies. You know what a mortal enemy is?
Mortal
enemy means someone you want to kill.
Enemies
who want to kill each other. The normal meaning of mortal is someone who's subject to death. It's a different context. Well, it does mean the same thing, but in a different context. So, we see that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there was a specific time for fighting from sunrise to sunset. And after sunset, the Kauravas and the Pandavas would mix. They would go to each other's tents, rest, relax, joke together. I don't know, joke together, but at least they would speak in gracious terms. The next day they'd be back to trying to kill each other and actually killing each other. This doesn't seem very practical. If someone you've been trying to kill him all day, and then he comes to your place at night without any weapons, they would come without any weapons, then you can just very easily kill him. And then your problem solved. The Kauravas, they wanted to kill Yudhishthira, and the Pandavas, they wanted to kill Duryodhana. So if Yudhishthira came to Duryodhana's tent unarmed, then it would seem to make sense that Duryodhana would just kill him. But even Duryodhana didn't do that. Everything, it was called a dharma yudha.
And that
means it was fought for the sake of dharma. At least from Yudhishthira's standpoint, it was for the sake of dharma. Duryodhana, he might have also, in his perverted way, have considered that it was for the sake of dharma. It's my right to be on the throne, he thinks. So as atheists never tire of pointing out, in the history of the world, many battles have been fought in the name of religion, and that continues to the present day, and many atrocities have been committed in the name of religion. But dharma yudha means not only fought for the sake of religion, but fought according to the rules of religion. There are certain rules, such as you should fight with an opponent of equal merit and strength. And actually, although the Battle of Kurukshetra was mostly fought according to the rules, both sides violated them in the course of the battle. The Kauravas by... who can give an example? That's the one I thought of. By killing Abhimanyu there. So how many was it? 8 Maharatis surrounded him and killed him, even though he was just a young boy. And there's one more. Let's go back. That's Pandavas, well, we know. Krishna incited Arjuna to kill Karna when Karna was not on his chariot, standing down from his chariot, not holding his weapon. So that's most famous. The the Narova, Kunjarova, the maybe a man, maybe an elephant, the Ashvatthamahatta, Iti Gaja, this famous incident of Yudhishthira calling out Ashvatthama is killed. That's also a pretty borderline case.
Yeah,
he did say it was an elephant. Definitely there was the intent to mislead his guru. In fact, Arjuna, he didn't want to fight at all in the beginning, saying it was against the principles of Dharma to fight Gurunga Hatva Hi Mahanubhavan, to fight against the gurus, who are all great personalities.
So
he tried to kill them. But then those of Brahmin caste who were fighting, they were also regularly castigated during the fight for fighting when they were Brahmins.
Also,
who were they?
Dronacharya.
Dronacharya is the most famous. Ashvatthama.
Ashvatthama.
Ravana.
Ravana? No, he's not in Kurukshetra. He's already,
he's already been killed. Only in Kurukshetra.
Well, his name came up just three shlokas ago, 2 days ago. Kripacharya.
Kripacharya.
Here's another one. What about how Bhima killed Duryodhana? By striking him below the belt. And he even after that he did something which no one approved of, even Krishna.
He put his leg on the head down.
Yeah, he kicked Duryodhana when Duryodhana was lying on the ground and just dying. He kicked him in the head. So that was it. Duryodhana finished, everyone dead, but the worst was yet to come. Namely Ashvatthama. Not killing not only the sons of the sons of the Pandavas. They weren't sons of Draupadi, you can say. But killing many others also in their sleep. Dhrishtadyumna, he was killed like that. So this was is completely against the rules of Dharma. But the rule is Grihe Shatramapi Praptam Vishvasto Akuto Bhayam. One should receive even enemies graciously. So in English there's a saying, all's fair in love and war. No rules, that's what it means. There's no rules. Everyone knows there's rules for love and war. And it's only a recent phenomena, for instance, that civilians are targeted during wars. This was started during the American Civil War. Otherwise, nowhere in the world were civilians targeted, at least among people who had any sense of religion and honor. They were not victimized. So dharma yuddha, that term is known in India, and one word which has recently become well known all over the world, even outside the Muslim world, is jihad. So if you go to Saudi Arabia and say jihad, people know what it means. It's an Arabic word, I presume. Nowadays, if you speak in America, among American people who are born in America, Christians, and say jihad, they also know what it means. So jihad is supposed to mean something like dharma yuddha, or war for the sake of establishing religion. But it's not those persons who call themselves Muslims and who have declared jihad against the non-Islamic world. They certainly don't follow the Vedic principles of war. What is called terrorism is certainly not anything like dharma yuddha. It's supposed to be for the sake of religion, but it's not according to a religious method. Actually, nothing good can come of terrorism. Even most people can understand that. You don't have to be a philosopher to understand that. Now, even if theoretically, just speaking theoretically, if the jihad was successful and everyone in the world was either converted to Islam or blown to pieces, well, they still wouldn't. What would be the benefit, actually? The principles which Islam is supposed to espouse, that they wouldn't be able to establish any peaceful religious state because they would, being accustomed to such foul means, they would simply among themselves fight and keep on blowing each other up. So religion will not come from terrorism. Only more terrorism will come from terrorism. Now, speaking about terrorism, Srila Prabhupada, he commented on this, that if people's culture is like that, if people are like animals, then what can you expect? In the jungle, which is full of wild animals, the different animals, the ferocious animals are attacking each other and killing each other. The lion is called the king of the animals, but he doesn't have any rules that if some animal is weak, then you shouldn't kill him. He's a king, but he's the king of the animals. A king of humans is sometimes called Singh, or like a lion. But there is a distinction, because a lion is a lion, and he's an animal, and a man, he may have lion-like qualities, but he shouldn't be like an animal. So if men are accustomed to victimizing and killing millions of weak animals simply for the sake of their tongues, then terrorism must be the result. People are horrified by terrorism. I am horrified. You don't have a word for that?
Yes.
They experience horror. That is, it's not... Have a word for that?
Bidi.
Pirit. It means oppressed. That's in Piritam. That's in North Indian languages or Sanskrit. So, just like recently in Bombay, there were bomb blasts and people killed and people that were mentally tortured and maybe physically tortured before they were killed. And it's horrible. The same people all over the world who are expressing that this is something very bad, they'll be at their dinner table eating some meat and saying, how bad is this terrorism? And they don't think that the animal has been tortured throughout his life. Mercilessly slaughtered. They take the young calves away from their mothers, and then sometimes they slaughter the mother in front of the calf or vice versa. And in India, where there's supposed to be a culture of cow protection, there are very few cows that live natural. They live their whole life and then die. Only those that make it to some Jain Goshala or something like this. Otherwise, every one of them is slaughtered. How many tens of thousands of cows are slaughtered in India daily? In abortion, that's also slaughter, genocide. Genocide means there's so many being killed. Genocide means mass murder. Actually, in America, people are, in general, you could say, in many places, it seems in most places, where I go there too, they're very polite and friendly. When I was a child, America was famous for being, Americans were famous for being very rough in their behavior, but it seems they made an effort to change that. And actually, they're very polite and friendly and nice people. That's my general experience. And actually, in most places in the world, even today, we'll find that most people, if you deal with them in a fairly decent way, they'll reciprocate in the same way. Most people are quite nice, or at least they're not grossly badly behaved. Most people, if you're polite with them, they'll reciprocate in the same way, all over the world. But they don't know or they don't think what they're doing when they're eating meat. It's been very bad propaganda. It's embedded in the cultures, many cultures all over the world, that it's good to eat meat. And people don't think there's anything wrong with it. But still they have to suffer the consequences. So this knowledge, people need to know. I mean, if people are nice, but they're doing very not nice things. And actually, if you tell them that you shouldn't eat meat, they might stop being nice to you. They might not be so nice to you also. So what should we do? Declare jihad. Kill all the meat eaters. Srila Prabhupada, he didn't approve of such tactics. When Srila Prabhupada was personally present, there were two devotees. I mean, they weren't initiated. They were in some kind of break-off group from ISKCON. There were break-off groups even at that time, even in Prabhupada's presence. And they died when the bomb they were making exploded in their home. They were planning to blow up a slaughterhouse. But when Srila Prabhupada was informed, he didn't approve of that we should go around blowing up slaughterhouses. Even once in Bhakti Godhead magazine, they made one edition in Britain, only for distribution in Britain. They only did it once. And in that magazine, they showed all kinds of horrible things. There was a pictorial history of short pictorial history of Christianity, which showed how all the different Christians were torturing and killing each other, which is actually the main history of Christianity, and showed scenes from animal slaughterhouses. So it's quite horrible, actually, quite horrifying. This tactics of showing scenes from slaughterhouses that's used by an organization based in America, all over the world, called PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. And they show slaughterhouse scenes. And after seeing this, many people think, I don't ever want to eat meat again. But Srila Prabhupada, he didn't approve of this kind of thing being in Bhakti Godhead. He said, you should show beautiful pictures of Krishna. So the idea is that by a higher culture, we should conquer the lower culture, not come down to the same level. Because if we come down to that level, then we won't... What do we have to offer? Once Srila Prabhupada was on a flight from or to South Africa, and the South Africa rugby team, rugby is a kind of sport, they were in the same plane. And rugby players are known to be quite rough in their behavior. I mean, the game itself is quite rough. I don't exactly know the rules, but you wonder why they even bother with a ball. They might as well just have a fight. So anyway, in those days, smoking was allowed in planes, and they were all smoking, even though they were in the non-smoking section of the plane. So Srila Prabhupada's secretary, Pushta Krishna Swami, he protested to the rugby players, but you shouldn't smoke in the no-smoking section. But they didn't care at all. They just went on smoking. So then Pushta Krishna Swami wanted to complain to the stewardess, that's like the authority on the plane. But Prabhupada restrained him. Srila Prabhupada said, if we can't tolerate them, we're no better than them. Actually, when I heard this, I thought that, well, maybe still Pushta Krishna Swami could have, you know, politely pursued the matter further, because it was an inconvenience to Srila Prabhupada. Although Srila Prabhupada may have wanted to been prepared to tolerate it, but Pushta Krishna Swami, he may have also been prepared to tolerate it, but he might have thought that for Prabhupada's sake we should try to do something. Anyway, that's a fine point. I'm certainly not blaming Pushta Krishna Swami. He's so fortunate to have that service to Srila Prabhupada, which is, Prabhupada's very pleased with his service. But Srila Prabhupada, even though he was very strong in his preaching, in his... he would deal with people. Sometimes he was very strong with individuals also, but he would deal with people in a way that they were charmed, and not by some superficial method, but actually Srila Prabhupada loved everyone. That's the fact. Oh, he gave a garland, came, gave a garland and left. Should have told him to put it at the end of class, and he might have sat. Even then he might not have been able to hear anything. There may be some people who they don't hear, even though they may be superficially present. So anyway, this point, this very high culture, people of higher consciousness will appreciate that. People of low consciousness, they like rock and roll music, for instance. In modern India, you hear this boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom, this kind of beat of, it appeals to a very low class emotion. So the Krishna conscious movement is supposed to uplift human society by offering a genuinely better way of life. Those ideas which are there in good ideas which are there in other cultures, they are in their best form in the Vedic culture. Even this jihad, the concept in and of itself is not all bad. If you think that this religion and belief in God, this is the best way, then we should try to bring that to everyone. So the idea is not intrinsically bad, but its modern manifestation is usually not very good at all. But that spirit can be brought to the highest point by, first of all, understanding what it is that we should be so dedicated to. What is the highest principle? And by being completely dedicated, even at the expense of this mortal frame, even at the expense of our bodily life, to spread that message. So ISKCON should also declare jihad. We won't stop until everyone's chanting Hare Krishna. But we're not going to shoot anyone or kill them or blow them up. Our weapons are Srila Prabhupada's books. Kirtan, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Krishna Prasadam. That's one to get people smiling. And also, if devotees, they behave on this high level of culture, that's also very impressive. So, okay. Jihad. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any question or comment, please. No cutting off people's heads.
It's mentioned that we should receive the enemy in a craziest way. And if we don't do so, what is the result of that?
Well, the result is it's a dharma, and the result of a dharma is never auspicious. There may not be an immediate result. That one has to suffer for violating the principles of dharma, either in this life or a future life.
Even these movies we sometimes use for preaching, this is showing animals being slaughtered. So this shouldn't be used for preaching.
Yeah, said in Tamil, should we use movies showing animals being slaughtered for preaching? Well, according to that indication from Srila Prabhupada, which I was quoting, that's not. Srila Prabhupada didn't approve of this. So I would say no. Even though it does have the effect in, seems, some cases at least, of people not wanting to eat meat after that. I mean, you could do all kinds of ghastly things. You could walk around with dripping aborted fetuses and to preach against abortion. But it seems that such ghastly tactics were not approved by Srila Prabhupada.
Generally, when Vaishnavas by general people also, when devotees are offended by general people, like Srila Prabhupada was in one sense offended by these people who are smoking. So with that time we should tolerate, or Srila Prabhupada said to tolerate, what should be our duty?
Should we tolerate if people are smoking?
No, not only smoking, but they are like,
or
similar
things, blaspheming devotees. Well, it's not blaspheming devotees and smoking in the presence of devotees are not, you know, it's not the same thing. We shouldn't equate the two things as being the same. Should we tolerate an itch on my ear, or should I tolerate a cancerous tumor? I mean, the two things they're different. One's much more serious than the other. An example of absurd, illogical thinking. Srila Prabhupada said to tolerate smoking, so if someone blasphemed Srila Prabhupada or attempted to physically attack him, we should tolerate that. It's not a valid analogy. But we quote Srila Prabhupada's behavior and utterances because he is the acharya and he teaches by his example, which we're supposed to imbibe the same understanding and act according to that. You can, in this case, you can ask them to stop, but if they don't, then what could you? I mean, it's very unlikely that those rugby players are going to stop smoking, whatever anyone said, because you know they're very boisterous kind of people, and they take pleasure in just doing what they like. So no two circumstances are exactly the same, but in such a circumstance, you could ask them to stop, and if they don't, then what can you do? Then you have to tolerate. Otherwise, you just get in a big shouting match, and they don't stop, but they won't stop anyway, and what did you gain from getting in a shouting match with them? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.